Duane Griffith at Montana State University. Before I give you his economist introduction here, I just want you to know that Duane and Jay Van Vost at Montana State University are the technical wizards that have kept our webinar series going. Their system did an automatic Windows update last night, and so when they came in this morning, their Adobe Connect webinar software wouldn't work, and so they scrambled like mad to get it up and up and going for them. They've been really great. So, but Duane's also a skilled, exceptional economist. His interests include production economics and financial analysis, covering all aspects of farm and ranch business performance. His educational curriculum includes crop and livestock enterprise analysis, machinery management, marketing of ag commodities, and complete farm and ranch financial analysis and emerging risk management issues for agricultural opportunities. Duane is a created and gifted developer of on-farm decision aids for farmers, and which he's going to talk some about this morning, which they can use to analyze their operations. And he will give us some websites pointing to those. It's been a real pleasure for me through my career to have the opportunity to work with Duane. And so, Duane, going to turn it over to you at this point.
Thank you, John. Thank you for that kind introduction. I'll pay you the $10 I owe you when I see you next time. With that...
It was all true, Duane.
Thank you. We're going to get going here with the risk management tools end of this. Ed presented some really positive outlook type of stuff, especially for long-term agricultural demand. He also touched on the sort of the shaky supply side issue on an annual basis around the world and growth. All of those aspects have to be managed and incorporated into our decision-making process as an individual producer on a day-to-day basis. And to do that, we do like to have tools available for producers to manage risks. Those risks comes in lots of forms: prices, yields, typical production cycles, and we think of those here, but Ed touched on the fact that they have those all over the world, and they factor into our markets. The natural disaster, something like what happened last summer in Russia. We look at protecting enterprise revenue for the commodities we grow, yields and prices, one or the other. We can also look at protecting whole farm revenue. And last but not least, our lender and family need some financial and risk protection also to make sure that we survive in the short run to get to the long run. The tools available, government programs, there are many of those available, and most producers are familiar with those. Production practices, rotations, alternative crops, Ed also touched on those in terms of what's going on worldwide in terms of production practices that we have to compete with. The insurance, most producers are well aware of the insurance policies. The exception might be the new combo policy and its plans, but those policies look at individual commodities for a particular operation, group region policies, and whole farm policies also. And last, there's the marketing options, the futures options market, cash contracts, basis contracts, forward contracts, those kinds of things that we can implement. All of those alternatives lead us to think about risk, or at least me. What does risk look like? Now, you're a typical economist to get out a bell curve and start talking about statistics here, but this is my picture of risk. That little boy is thinking, you know, should I pick up this right foot here? It's going to be one heck of a ride. That ride represents the ultimate or end product in production, marketing, financial, institutional, and human resource risk. And I know you're thinking out there, no, I would never take that ride. But are you a risk taker? I want you to think for a minute, just grabbing that picture and turning it sideways. What does that risk look like for agriculture? Well, this is what it looks like. In late last year, we had a hill that looked just like that in the Chicago corn markets. This is a weekly price. You can see how steep that hill was. And we lost about $1.50 a bushel in a very short period of time. Minneapolis grain exchange markets. We took the ride in Minneapolis wheat, too. And we lost about $3.50 a bushel last year in a very short period of time. That's what risk looks like in an agricultural operation with respect to prices. And I would wager that many of you were unprotected in terms of the risk management strategies available against that downhill ride. In agriculture, we often get to the bottom, turn around and look back up the hill and say, whew, boy, I don't want to do that again. Chicago wheat, this is a monthly price. We can see that in the Chicago wheat markets in 2008, there was a huge downward slide in the wheat prices. In 2009, there was a similar downward slide in wheat prices about the same time of the year, not quite as extensive. And in 2010, it happened again. So with this kind of a pattern, the kinds of risks that Ed talked about, the kinds of risks that we have to manage on a daily basis, we need to think about what tools are available and how we can manage this risk. Marketing, if you think about price management, is not our ability to affect the prices we receive. We don't have much ability to have any kind of an effect. We can't go down and argue with the elevator and get another 10 cents out of him on any given day. Marketing is about our ability to take an attractive price when it is offered. And think back to those downhill slides in the wheat and corn markets that happened last year and in the last several years in a row. Were there opportunities early on to protect against prices through some of the tools that we have to manage those risks? And what is an attractive price? Well, that probably varies from one individual to another, but price that covers your cost of production, price that at least locks in your operating cost for your lender's purposes and gives you peace of mind and what's going on there. But that does vary. We do take unnecessary risks, and taking those downhill rides on those price slides is, I think, one of those risks. Last week, Danny Kleinfelter talked about the characteristics of good managers. A couple of things he pointed out was stay on top of each situation. They tend to do a lot of research and gather good information, and they make decisions from an informed position. And the second thing that he kind of highlighted was they have the ability to act. When they saw an opportunity, they were able to move. They made the decision and went ahead. Along those lines, Matt Dearson, my cohort and the software we're about to look at, have been developing a piece of software that allows you to compare and contrast the possible combinations of combo policy plans and futures and options. With that, just one more brief slide here as an introductory time frame. Software that we're just about to look at here covers three distinct periods. The first is the sales closing date for insurance products, fall or spring. We're going to use the fall example here because we're not at the spring sales closing date, and whether or not you depend on the or whether you plant in the fall or the spring, there's a time period, or second time period we consider, is after the fall sales closing date, or even maybe before the spring sales closing date, if you haven't planted yet, that you have a pricing opportunity. The insurance is tied to the sales closing dates, but the markets are not. And the last sort of endpoint in our time frame analysis is RMA harvest price, when that is announced in the fall for the harvested crops here. Now, the introductory page, I'll skip past that. The general inputs for this software, again, we're building a comparison between the combo policy plans and the futures and options markets that, and what alternatives you have there to be able to put together a complete strategy. The top portion of the screen covers the information that you would enter in a combo policy analysis or plan, the basic data that is available there. The bottom portion of the screen looks at information that relates to futures and options markets. There's a lot of kind of buttons and stuff that you can push on this software. All of the text in or cells in blue you can change. What we have here is an example of a perfect hedge. We start off the year, and in this $7.15 in the upper right-hand corner, that was the published projected RMA harvest price before our September 30th closing date in Montana for winter wheat. Within a few weeks, the futures market had moved up to an $8.40 range, and $8.40, since that was 7:15 was published, the futures market has continued to climb, and as of last Friday, it was $8.40. What about strategies then? If we look at the different strategies that might be available at this point in time, what should we do as an individual? And what this does is look at the opportunity then to move into that second time period and use the futures market to add an additional layer of price protection over our insurance purchase. This software has a standalone futures analysis, and you can use this to look at the futures and how it works. I'm not going to mess with that today. It also has a standalone options, puts and calls, and how that those two tools work in the markets. And finally, where we want to be is on this summary page. Everything is carried forward to that summary page. And I'm going to click a button here in the upper left-hand corner. You can see there's little checkboxes on this screen. When they're checked, they turn orange. The initial display of this screen has the futures and options columns covered up. And what I want to do is just look at our perfect hedge example here. The information at the bottom of the screen is identical to what was on that general inputs tab. And changing a cell value in any location in this software changes it in every location of this software. So you don't have to worry about messing up your comparison when you change on one page and go to the next. You can see here that our futures and options, or our combo policy plans, are all checked right across the middle in that green bar. Those check marks indicate that those analysis plans are active. If I uncheck them, for example, that combo indemnity is zero, and our 770 net cash ending price here is the same as our cash price that we actually received. If I turn them on, it simply reduces the net cash price received at harvest time because of the insurance premiums we're paying for the various combo policies. Okay? So with that as the starting point, I'm going to uncover my futures and options. And the next thing I want to illustrate here, all of those are unchecked. That border around the center of your screen, the blue border, links up all of the futures and options. You can see on the right-hand side there are zeros in all of those columns. That's because the check boxes up here are not checked, which means that they aren't implemented. That also means that the very bottom row of this table, the actual net cash income, or the actual net income for cash, 128, and for all of the futures and options are also the same as we haven't turned those particular alternatives on at this point in time. You can see, however, that the alternatives for the combo policies do not display 128. They display something less. And that's because we have a perfect hedge, and since it did work, all we are doing is reducing our net income by the cost of our insurance, which lowers our net income for those plans. With that very brief introduction here, I'm going to say what if now. I'm going to go down here in the lower right-hand corner, and this $8.40 price we have in here for the RMA futures price at harvest, I'm going to change that to $5.50. So if we change that to $5.50, you're going to see a couple of pop-ups on the screens. I have warning messages here that says that maybe your price relationship is out of balance. I won't talk about those now. And I change the spot futures price at harvest, and I change the cash price so that the basis, our expected basis, minus 70, remains the same. Now, at this point, we can see that the bottom line, the actual net income per acre, has been reduced here for the combo policy options, and you can start to see, I guess, the comparative analysis that takes place. We're still at 40 bushels, which was our expected yield. If I look at that set of information here for just a minute, I'm going to cover up the combo policies, and I'm going to check the futures and options, and we now see that at those price levels here that we had the 550, 480, and 550, our futures prices at those levels are going to return a net return of $127 per acre. We're going to, up here under the hedge option, we're going to earn about $2.88 a bushel with those prices that we have down here in the as a simulation of the ending price. The put option, we're going to earn 71 cents a bushel for it, and our net return per acre is $40.40. A minute ago, though, those options under the, if I change them back, click those off, that's $12 without that protection. So you can start to compare and contrast the alternatives here in terms of the futures and options. If I click them back on, the net income at the bottom changes to show what those particular individual alternatives will do. I'm going to redisplay our combo policy options. I'm going to check off our futures and options here. And I'm going to change now the yield from 40 bushels down to 20 bushels. You can see as I change that number here on the screen, the 20 bushels has a significant impact on all of the options across the board. All of our combo policy options now are in the negative rather than the positive. And that they also show some of the relative effectiveness of those particular insurance plans under this scenario in terms of what's actually happening with price and yield. And at this point, our RP revenue protection and the revenue protection with harvest price exclusion look like they're losing approximately the same and relatively much less money than just yield protection insurance. If I include the same, using the same prices here and a 20 bushel yield, I can click on the hedge and say, if I had hedged early on, and we now have these simulation of ending period prices here for spot futures, then my hedge starts to kick in, and that removes those negative prices from the combo plans and the negative price from the hedge to where all are now positive. So that addition, or the mix and match here, you can start to think about strategies in terms of, well, my insurance price at pre-sale time was 715, the market's moved significantly higher. What about another layer or another use of another tool to help my risk management strategy? So at this point, I've got the hedge option on. I'm down to 20 bushels in yield. And that hedge option seems to be working pretty well. The put options then, if I unchecked hedge, they all go back negative. If I check the put options here on the right-hand side in the center, that in that green bar, turns on the put options. And as you would expect, there's less protection with a downside in a put option because of the premium paid. And the positive numbers that were there under the hedge, two of the one of that, the yield protection option is now negative. In combination, the other two are now positive. But the put option does not offer the same sort of protection, overall protection, with the combination with the combo plans. I'm going to uncheck that now. And one more quick example here, just to show you how this software works. I'm going to change the yield to 5 bushels. And we'll say that we have a, this might be individually for an operation, but in general, the prices in general take a big jump from the time that we planted crops due to natural disasters or some of those kinds of things that Ed discussed here. And so at harvest time, the RMA harvest price jumps to $12, and I'll just put the spot futures price at $12. And I'll say that the basis remains the same at minus 70 cents, so that means the cash price is $11.30. And we have 5 bushels here. You'll note that all of the combo plans are turned on. All of them are positive in this case. But you can also start to see the effectiveness of the revenue protection strategy, which allows prices to increase. If in fact the futures price do increase, they provide some upside gain in that particular policy. That RP policy is now way more attractive than the other two combo plans. And you can see here I have all of the futures and options plans turned off. If I click on the call option here, we can think about, what if I forward contracted for $8 or so a bushel, and now I end up with 5 bushels? Well, my combo policy plans help me get a positive net return, some better than others, but I also have the option to buy a call. And what I did was I put a $10 call in there over down in this area. And on Friday, you could buy a $10 call with at a 15% premium. All I have to do is go over here and check on that call option here. So when I incorporate that call option with my combo plans, you can see the call option net per acre. I'm going to earn $14.64 a bushel if, in fact, I implemented that call option at 15 cents a bushel. And when I combine that with my revenue protection strategy, for example, it's $214 positive per acre that I get, rather than $141 positive if I didn't have that call option in place. So this software allows sort of a mix and match analysis of the various alternatives and strategies that you might put together for the combo plan. I'll take questions, John.
Thank you, Duane. And I'll just point out that this spreadsheet tool that Duane was doing these examples in is available for downloading and use, and you can find it on our Ag and Uncertain Times webpage. And Duane, one of the questions is, how do you deal with basis volatility?
Yes, my perfect example kind of skimmed over that, and I kept basis, which in Montana would, for winter wheat, a typical basis might be minus 50, minus 70 cents. I kept that unique all the way through the example. The software actually allows you to vary that stuff, and it will, for example, if I have a cash price on there, I can vary the cash price and say I have a strengthening basis and it strengthens to zero rather than, or it improves from a minus 70 to zero, I can show the effect that that has on all of the marketing tools and your bottom line options. It is accounted for in there by allowing you to change the spot futures at harvest and the cash price, so you can set the basis at any level you want to.
And can a Eastern Washington farmer or a Southwest Kansas farmer take this tool and use it?
Yes, they can. They can. It's generic in the sense that you input the relevant values for your particular type of commodity, basis values for your area, and your production parameters, and use the tool. And it, while it's the example is wheat, it can go to another covered commodity also.
Corn. You could do it.
Yes.
Use it with corn.
Yes. Okay.